All right, ready?
Kayfabe Gimmicks! You know where to find us on Facebook! We're on YouTube!
Fiction Entertainment Brother!
YouTube!
Fiction Entertainment Brother!
YouTube!
Fucking number one Kayfabe Gimmicks podcast ever, so.
How are you looking for?
Put words in the wrong place.
Are you recording all this, dude? The best wrestling podcast has always been.
What you gonna do, brother, when the beast starts talking about wrestling and drinking whiskey and it's all crazy up in here?
Today is a very sad day in history. For 18 years ago today, a terrible explosion ripped the moon away from the Earth.
Yeah. Was that white?
Yeah.
So I had a moon for the last 18 years?
Yeah, it's been a figment of your imagination.
So global warming's not the fucking problem. The problem's the fact that I don't have a damn moon.
Exactly. I mean, you saw what it did to the atmosphere, too.
I understand. I feel like this suddenly explains everything. Everything. It just makes sense. The world suddenly makes sense, and it's all thanks to you.
Well, I do what I can. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ruff Lee, and I am the advocate for women's wrestling on Kayfabe Gimmicks.
Wait.
And I'm joined by...
You're starting this? No. It's welcome to Kayfabe Gimmicks. This is Snoova, and Chipotle's queso sucks.
I haven't done a taste test yet, but...
They have real cheese in it, but it don't got a lot of real flavor. Went there, said it, came out. Feel like a boss about this.
Like a boss? Like a Sasha Banks?
If you mean I lose the belt as soon as I get it every time? Sure. Yeah. Absolutely, sir. So.
In real wrestling history, today is September 13th. And on this day in 2001, WWE became hosted the first arena event after the attack.
Do we know the turnout for that event?
I don't know what the turnout was for that. Vince McMahon opened the show with a very rousing speech that would make any politician proud, but he spoke from the heart, and the motivation behind it was we're not going to let them win. We're not. And he said it on air. We will not live in fear. He said flat out, we need something to jumpstart people and give them a good time and get their mind off of this. We need to go out there and do our job and entertain people. And so they went live on September 13th because they were supposed to broadcast on the day of the attack. It was supposed to be a taping. And of course, the country shut down. So instead, they went live 2 days later.
I mean, I look, man, I appreciate everything Vince has done. I do.
Speech.
Don't get me wrong. And it was very important for somebody to make the stand and go ahead and say, hey, look, we're going to be the first ones to do this. And he was able to beat basketball, obviously, because it was still a regular football game coming back on. And in some sense or another, he was able to add normality back to life. And I feel like that's a very important thing. As you heard last week in our Hurricane Party podcast, Irma tore the shit out of Florida. Quite literally. Power gone. You know, it was a race to be the first open and the first place doing business again afterwards. And we didn't partake in it this year. I'm not going to lie to you. We kind of took a step back. And I don't really feel bad about this either in a lot of ways, because I feel like it's a money-grubbing thing, and yet at the same time, it's a valuable part of society to reopen the doors and say, hey, we're here, we're okay, life's normal, we're going to take your money. So I had torn feelings this year. My morality was involved. I can't say that was the first time.
Taking the money is the American way, isn't it?
I mean, I'm not saying it isn't. I just, you know, it was a little weird this year. It was a little weird. I thought about it a little bit to myself. And, I mean, this is the first time I really thought about it. Last year, I would have been like, fuck yeah, let's get open as soon as possible. But this year, there was a little bit more destruction. A little bit more derangedness in it all.
what was only four times the size of Andrew.
Well, I mean, I didn't. I was fucking four when Andrew happened, dude. The closest I had was the hurricanes of 04.
Yeah.
So, well, first things first, did you watch the finale of the women's tournament yesterday?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Thoughts?
Shayna Baszler, before she tried to exit the ring the first time, after they did the handshake, said thank you to Kairi Sane. And I think Shayna knows what a big deal it was for her to be in the final of it, just as much as Sane did.
I really thought she was going to win. I thought she was going to beat Kairi, to be honest with you.
They told a great story, but, you know, I expected Kairi to win just because when you're talking a tournament, especially an inaugural tournament, you're going to have the happy ending.
I do understand where you're coming from. In interesting news to go with this, we are going to crown the next NXT Women's Champion at TakeOver. And in the coming weeks, we're going to determine who will fight Kairi Sane for that belt. So we're in an interesting place, I guess, for women's wrestling on NXT right now.
Because now we're talking about, like, immediately Trina's like, it's Kairi's belt?
No. More like because we're going to treat it as like a mini tournament to see who fights Kairi because Kairi won her tournament. So in that sense, it should be interesting. It should be fun. We should have some sense of like, okay. I mean, maybe Shayna Baszler is going to show up on NXT in the next couple weeks of tapings. You got to figure the next takeover is not till...
She better. That'd be the smart thing to do. In fact, you know, it'd almost be even smarter because we really don't care about Tamina, but we are talking about Shayna Baszler, and Shayna ought to show up on SmackDown.
Well, I mean, it's a weird place right now. SmackDown doesn't really need anything. We also got the announcement that Asuka's going to Raw. Because Raw really needs her. I mean, I'm not going to disagree there.
Right. So is she meant to be a roadblock for Nia
Jax? No, I think
Jax?
She's going to end up going against Alexa. First things first. I mean, she's probably not going to debut for at least another month or two because she is injured. No matter what certain people want to say and be like, oh, that's the dirt sheets lying, she is injured. And kayfabe, she held the championship longer than she was injured because they didn't actually officially take the title off of her until the belt was officially stripped on the NXT airing. Now, it was taped in advance because that's how NXT is. And then they took the belt off after airing. Now, I got a question for you, Rob.
Sure.
Did we talk about Sasha Banks?
No, not really.
Maybe me and Steven talked about it on the Hurricane Party. But her whole, I miss NXT in my 3 months of planning I had all one time to
you
do storylines.
You know, this is not smart moving. So either you're ready, I mean, you are promoted to your level of incompetence. And maybe she's being painfully aware of hers.
I just, look, man, I mean, here's the thing. When it comes down to recording a weekly program versus recording a program months in advance, it's different. It is. But you can't come out and say, oh, man, it was easier, because that means that you can't handle your job. And I'm mad about this. I'm mad at Sasha Banks about this. Take any of her abilities outside in the ring aside. Look, if I walk into my job and say, man, this sure was easier when I was in training and I didn't actually count towards labor or something, like, people are going to look at me like I'm fucking retarded. That's not how that works.
Absolutely. No, it's not how it works.
So I feel like she shouldn't have opened her mouth in the first place. Like, she should have just kept that shit shut.
I mean, it's kind of like going on record and saying that you really don't love your marriage. Why are you here?
I agree with you. I'd agree with you. So before we really get into things, because we got things to get into, I want to go ahead and ask you, what is it you wanted to talk about this week?
I mean, besides our topic on point?
Yeah, I mean, besides our topic on point, because I'm going to lead us through that one, trust me. I got a plan. Or a thought process, at least.
Well, Cena is still giving us lots of reason to talk. Aside from that, it was nice seeing that Natty retained clean. Though I really don't know where they're trying to go with her. If they are. But Cena's still giving us plenty to talk about. Even the way that he walked into the ring with two microphones.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I like the Cena Roman stuff. It's been interesting. It's been fun. But it's been kind of weird. Kind of weird. Kind of just one of those things that, I mean, like, these worked shoot promos, are they a positive? Are they a negative? I'm not really sure. I'm just not sure.
When WWE edits it in order to promo the fight, it just looks like a normal match. To anybody who's actually watching the footage, it's like, yep, Roman's reading a script and Cena's ripping him to shreds.
Well, and I mean, that's the thing. Meltzer said that both of them were working. Like, it was work. It was all a work. So I can't take that away from it. I firmly believe he's right. It is a work. Even the pipe bomb might have been a work to some extent or another. This is definitely not the first time. The most interesting thing was how Enzo got ripped apart by The Miz. And that was also a work shoot, and The Miz called him out on the bus incident, all kinds of shit.
You know, I said it in the group. Get on Facebook, because I know you're there anyway, and join us, Kayfabe Gimmicks. And I said it there. This is a soft face turn. He doesn't have to change anything about his character. He doesn't have to change anything about his arrogance. But we love The Miz. We all know that why we love The Miz. We know that The Miz doesn't have to do anything special. And we're all happy for him with the announcement this week that him and Maryse are expecting their first child. I mean, this is a soft face turn. There's no reason for you to decide that you're going to announce it on a live broadcast unless it's happy news.
I'm not disagreeing with you. But look, man, here's the thing. At the end of the day, we're not normally a recap show, but this week we're going to be a recap show. Mainly because 2009 called and it wants its story back, goddammit. I'm mad.
Now show me where you're going with this.
I'm fucking mad, man. Look, Bubba came out. Said he was going to talk about it on his podcast. Taz came out. Said it was great fucking business. Multiple people have commented on this and are fans of this or whatever. And even Hulk Hogan is a fan of this goddamn storyline. And what they're doing. There's only one person last night, Tuesday. Tuesday the 12th of May, or 12th of September, 2017, who put on the greatest show of them all on goddamn SmackDown, and that was goddamn Vince McMahon himself, the living legend, who took some of the biggest bumps he could at his age. He got busted the fuck open. And it was beautiful and psychotic and crazy all in one time. Tell me how you were feeling when you watched that happen.
Well, first thing, I knew that Vince wasn't going to try to take a pop-up when he's 72. But after the first blow, he came up with blood. And I'm like, go, Vince. That's awesome that you're immediately going to sell the blood from the first strike. That's amazing.
I do love that he did try to fight him. He did try to fight him for a second. I mean, it was kind of amazing. A 72-year-old man fought back for a minute.
Yeah.
Anyways, so...
Keep in mind, Keep in mind, the audience doesn't know this by and large, but keep in mind that Triple H still will absolutely attest that Vince can outbench him at 72 years old.
I mean, I agree. I understand. I do have that knowledge. Look, man, what culture agreed to this? Regret agreed to this. A bunch of people have agreed to this being a great idea, big money, super talent. And I'm confused. I'm fucking confused, Ruff. This is the exact same storyline that happened in 2009.
With?
This is the exact same thing he did when he attacked the entire McMahon family and started punting them down. He threatened to sue the shit out of them. He threatened to give them no show. He threatened to take their show. He went in and started attacking all of the McMahons. And that is exactly what Kevin Owens has done. He has gotten himself a fight with Shane McMahon so he can take Shane out. He already fucked up goddamn Vince. And he pissed off Stephanie, which makes the least amount of sense. The least. Because he's technically the Authority's golden boy just last year when Triple H helped him win the world title.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? How do you turn on the Authority?
Because the Authority is a non-entity with Triple H's absence.
I mean, maybe I could see that. But no, okay, so like, here's the thing, man. Right after that, Stephanie's in the exact same suit on the Mae Young Finals, which, hey, WWE is telling you to tune into. Hey, WWE wants you to watch. Hey, here's goddamn Ronda Rousey in the audience. We're doing this, guys. The Mae Young Finals are happening right afterwards. And H is there. H was at the finals, man, which makes even less sense why he's not involved in the storyline. And frankly, him being involved in the storyline truly makes it 2009, except for shittier reasons. Everything about this story is hitting similar beats to 2009's Randy Orton, except the WWE is in a worse state in 2017 than it was in 2009. That's the reality.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with that, you on that. It's just that we want a reason to hate Kevin Owens because he's been a whiny bitch for a while. And I guess he drew the right straws when it came to this. I don't know why they want to try to run this storyline. I mean, I think that all these other guys that are saying it's a great story, they just want to sell big on the McMahons. It's really strange, but you know, maybe.
Look, man. Like I said, I give a lot of points.
Maybe Shane and Daniel Bryan being the co-commanders in chief.
Yeah.
Has just magically flipped a switch that makes everyone think that McMahons are faces. Which is the weirdest feeling I've had in a while.
Look. Okay? Here's the problem, right? At the end of the day, this story hits enough similar beats that either Creative or Kevin Owens both should be fired. Honestly, whichever one of them came up with the idea. Like, what the hell?
I don't think it was Kevin.
Oh, you don't think Kevin gets that much control? I don't think Kevin gets that much control either. Oh, man. Because you know it's bad when Vince McMahon comes out and makes fun of you for being fat. I'm sorry. I wouldn't be surprised if Shane goes over for Kevin, real. If you want my real point. I actually think Shane would go over Kevin at this rate.
I would think.
Look. Here's the thing. Here's the problem. Here's what makes it all come to a conclusion, comes to an end, and everything like that. At the end of the day, Randy Orton was going after the McMahon family because he wanted payback on Triple H for Evolution. And he played it off perfectly. He let them all know he was crazy and that he didn't have jack shit on him. And he could fuck them up because he was crazy. And they all knew it and allowed him to work that entire time anyways. It's an amazing world title scene at that point. because one, this is actually about a major belt. By the time the storyline ends, we're balls deep into Legacy, and the world title's a major thing. Like, literally, this is like when John Cena versus Randy Orton was cool. John Cena's dad gets involved this year. All sorts of crazy shit happened this year, man. It's a great year for wrestling.
Before we had seen Cena and Orton 24 times.
Exactly. This is before it became overplayed. And, I mean, here's the thing that really makes it weird. The other major title going on this year was motherfucking goddamn CM Punk and goddamn Undertaker for the better part of the second half of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that dude, Jeff left, CM Punk became world champion, and he started a feud with The Undertaker, which was a million times better than his WrestleMania feud with Taker. A million times better.
It really was.
The tag team fucking picture was awesome. You had Jericho and Big Show as Jericho. You had Legacy. I mean, this is that same year that Kofi Kingston does that awesome run on Randy Orton because Randy hates him because he fucked up the match against John Cena.
Which I still think is Kofi's best moment. I don't care about ratings. I don't care about how high flying everyone is about Bootios and everything else. I honestly feel like when he took it to Randy Orton, I felt like I was buying every bit of it. Like, you're looking at someone who is pissed off enough to take Randy out and just grab the belt.
I understand. The only thing these 2 years have in common, to be honest with you, Ruff, is one thing. And that's the fact that Dolph Ziggler was in the middle of a repackaging in both years. This was the year of Mr. Zigglesworth because he just finally got out of the Spirit Squad and was trying to become a real name. And this year, he's doing other people's entrances lately? Yeah.
He's always been the show-off. I don't understand this storyline at all with Dolph Ziggler either. I don't understand it in the least.
It's kind of boring. It's kind of weird. It's kind of whatever. Look, I mean, here's the thing, man. At the end of the day, it was just a better time period. Minus the final pay-per-view of the year. The final pay-per-view of the year sucks. We talked about it just last week. Steven called it out. Shout out to Prather. You know I love you, man. Because Sheamus won his first ever WWE Championship by pushing John Cena through a table. Oh, man. Super hardcore. It was kind of lame. But that's look, lame. Man, this is the same year that DX went against Legacy. DX went against Jericho. There was some cool shit this year, too. This is also the year that Piggy James started. So, there's some negatives.
My God. You know, just this morning, I was thinking about the fact of it would be real interesting to see Lay Cool try to do a Piggy James kind of stunt against someone like Nia Jax. I can just imagine how well that would actually go over. Watching both of them get squashed like a bug by her.
Maybe that would have been cool. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Look, at the end of the day,
I mean, if we're going to push the body positive thing, that track that they're on now.
At the end of the day, at WrestleMania that year, Triple H did not lose to Randy Orton. Randy Orton still ended up getting the major belt that year. Randy Orton still ended up winning that feud technically against Evolution and the family. And it was cool. It was interesting. There was a major title involved at times. Shane's comeback into it was exciting and new and different. There was cool things that year. I mean, there were some weird things like Matt versus Jeff Hardy. But there were some great things.
I think they're trying to say that. I think the company is trying to say it's not the same story because the McMahons are the baby faces this time.
I think they were the baby faces last time. I mean, even then, Vince was old as shit, and he got punted in the head. And even then, Shane was still a 40-year-old man who occasionally wrestles. I don't know, yeah. Man. So, I mean...
Well, Shane's never been full-time anyway, so that's not a fair statement. He's never been full-time.
It was what it was. I mean, look, man. At the end of the day, I mean, here's the thing. Where's the money in this? Where's the big draw in this? You want to tell me that this is best for business? I'm intrigued. I'm interested. Well, how much crack are you smoking? At the end of the fucking day, we're talking about everybody's forgetting last year's storylines. Already. That's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about. Everybody just saying, fuck last year's storylines. And I don't see the point. I don't see how it makes any sense.
I've never liked that they just want us to forget everything that happens on a regular basis. How many face and heel turns did the Bellas have over the past decade?
I mean, look, man. Kevin Owens won the Universal Championship August 2016. He held it all the way to Roadblock into the line in February of 2017. All the way.
6 months later.
So, what the fuck? It's not even a year later, and I mean, I guess it's a year later, since technically he joined the Authority. But, like, come on. Come on, it's a year later at best. It's a little early to be like, oh, fuck it, we don't give a shit. Isn't it?
You would, but you don't know how creative does their kind of math anyway. I mean, I kind of feel like this is less about the McMahons and more about the fact that here they are, they put a lot of investment into Kevin Steen, and now they don't know what to do with him. They really don't know what to do with this Canadian guy that they put a lot of work into acquiring.
Well, I mean, okay. This is it. This is exactly what I've been waiting for all night. Look, here's your problem. Kevin Owens is part of the Authority. Kevin Owens finally gets out of storylines with Sami Zayn. We, some reason, put Kevin Owens back to SmackDown with Sami Zayn. We talk about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn every day. Kevin and Sami hang out. Every day, we literally get to see them on the podcast together doing their bullshit. So what the fuck? Okay? I'm just saying. What is going on here? And at that point, the question has to be, what is Kevin Owens now? Is he a prize fighter? Is he a crybaby? Is he whiny? Is he the screwed over man that he's acting like he's being? Because that makes him the babyface if Shane's actively trying to screw him over. But he's not. So that doesn't work either. What is Kevin Owens' character besides that chubby guy? Who kind of has a bad attitude. He's not a prize fighter. What is he?
He's the chubby, whiny Canadian.
I mean, seriously. Seriously. Where is this going? What is the purpose in this? What is Kevin Owens' character? Who is Kevin Owens' character?
It's not going anywhere. I mean, it. I don't even know whether or not. I mean, the real tell is whether they have something planned for him after this feud ends, and they are using this as filler, which is a terrible thing. Waste of Vince. It's a waste of Vince to use him as filler. But it makes me wonder whether or not we're just biding our time so we can put him in an active story once we get to the end of the year and start headed toward Mania season. Because we've got to let other storylines expire, but we still got to keep his name on air. I mean, that's the only thing I can figure out as to why they're even messing with this in the first place. Because I'm with you.
Here's the
whole thing is ridiculous. The whole thing is absurd. The idea of not having any plan of what this is going to achieve. The fact that he doesn't have a character. The fact that you are making the McMahons baby faces and you're making them into the victims. The fact that you don't have a real purpose to this feud to begin with. It all feels like
he's literally the jilted guy.
We're making him whine. Yeah.
Look, here's the facts, right? I'm going to lay them down to you very simply and very quickly, right? Kevin Owens gets world championship. Kevin Owens gets universal championship thanks to his buddy Triple H. Triple H disappears. Kevin Owens makes new best friend Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho has Festival of Friendship for Kevin Owens. We terribly foreshadow it by having Triple H show up right before the event and talk to Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens then turns on motherfucking Chris Jericho and fucks him up. Chris Jericho helps make sure that Kevin Owens loses Universal Championship. Universal Championship goes to Brock Lesnar, basically, because Goldberg loses the belt to him. We have a halftime champion on Raw. Who gives a fuck? We're gonna take Kevin Owens and send his ass back down to motherfucking SmackDown. The B-Leagues or something. Is it the B-Leagues? I don't know, because Vince just showed up for the first time in 4 years. He's now the new face of America with his U.S. championship. Ooh! That storyline goes to shit now. Suddenly, it's not working out very well. Suddenly, AJ has the belt again. AJ accidentally loses it because somebody fucks up in their match. So they have a triple threat with Chris Jericho. AJ has his belt back. Yay! Here we are. What are they doing? What is the purpose? There isn't one. They're literally trying to keep Kevin Owens relevant until they got something for him again, but nothing's really working. Right?
Right. Nothing is working.
And I feel like that's a problem.
Does, I guess it bears the question, does Kevin Owens work without having a Jericho to bounce again?
Yes. Look, can Kevin Owens work? Yes, probably. He's not really that terrible as much shit as I've given him over the years. Does Kevin Owens work in the way that they're trying to push it? No, they're pushing it in a nonsensical fashion because they don't seem to have a grip on keeping their own continuity and storylines in place. So somehow they've rebooted it.
We know that that's a core problem. Here's a better way to state the question, I guess. Jericho's got time off right now, right?
Of course.
To my knowledge, right now he's got time off. So because he is the most full-time part-timer around.
He's off doing whatever the fuck he wants. And if they don't find him anything interesting, he's happy not coming back. He's been stated as saying recently.
Well, I don't know whether or not they're waiting until they want to have Jericho show up and have another run at him and Owens, and I don't know whether or not we would care afterwards. At this point, like I said, it's not that Kevin can't do his job, and it's not completely that they are writing something terrible. I just think that they're at a loss of what to do with him. Who can we put him against that will make us care about Kevin Owens? I mean, is what it feels like, why they're throwing
the
McMahons in.
That's the problem,
we don't
though.
Have anyone interesting as a foil. That's why I said, does he work without a Y2J? Because a Y2J knows how to make a great feud out of things that you wouldn't expect.
Look, here's the thing. At the end of the day, Kevin Owens doesn't work. Really? I mean, the question is he a prize fighter? Is he a whiny bitch? Is he actually being screwed over? We shouldn't ask those questions. We should be given the answers to that through the context clues of the show. The show should be explaining to us its story about what Kevin Owens is doing, but Kevin Owens is just floating in the limbo and now rolling into a story which basically says, fuck everything that happened in the course of the last year. We don't even know what you're talking about. Except Sami Zayn. Fuck Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens hates Sami Zayn. They could have reunited as a tag team at one point recently, and it would have been cool. It would have been interesting. It would have been a different side of Kevin Owens for us. I have said for a while that Kevin Owens actually works as a face. Look, I mean, if you read any Kevin Owens interview, he loves to talk about his kid. He likes to talk about his family. Like, he's a family man. He's a chubby family man. He's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. He's a nice guy. Not really a mean guy. I mean, that's the reality of Kevin Owens.
The heel prize fighter doesn't sell because we all know that he loves his kid.
No, the heel prize fighter doesn't sell because Kevin fucking Owens doesn't look like a prize fighter. Never did.
Well, that's for sure.
That's where that problem works out.
When you're waiting for the girdle shot during the match, then no.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we have a problem. We have a problem here. That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you the opposite of this being good for business. Look, this might play out very well for WWE's hand. This might play out very well as a business decision. I'm not saying it won't. I'm not telling you that Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens will not be a great match. I bet you it will be. I bet you it's going to be a great fucking match, man. They're awesome at this shit. They're good at this. This is what they do. What I'm telling you is that continuity-wise, this is nonsense. It's a mess. And it doesn't work. Right? I mean, it just isn't working. That's how I feel. I mean, Vince took a major bump to get Kevin Owens over. I get that. Like I said, I commend Vince like a motherfucker for this. I commend Shane for the matches he's put on in the course of the last year. I commend them both for the things they do for their company. But from a creative aspect, I got questions, man. I got lots of questions, and I got no answers, and I don't really understand how it works. Am I supposed to forget about the Authority? Am I supposed to forget that Kevin Owens is a heel who works for the Authority? Am I supposed to forget that Vince is a member of the Authority? Because Vince came out and sided with the Authority a while back. I haven't forgot that. I have been constantly watching for how many years now?
Okay, for a one-year window, it's really bad. In a one-year window, that's bad. I'm going to shoot this another way. I mean, of course, the answer is this is not what they're doing. But looking at it from another angle, when you talk about creative, you ask whether or not you're supposed to forget about things that have happened. I kind of feel that as they have moved into the current era, which I don't even know what to call it. I think I'm just calling it the television era. We had the Attitude Era. We had the PG era. And now it's just the television era. If you look at WWE like an entertainment entity, like it is, and the fact that they are family programming now, which they definitely are, then maybe the company has taken a turn toward thinking like Disney, and a generation is only once every 7 years. In which case, 2009 hasn't happened.
All well and good. All well and good. I'll take it. I'll roll with it. Whatever. 09 can go fuck itself. It definitely had its sour moments to its positives. But you know what? You can still take that shit and shove it straight up your fucking ass, because about a year and a half ago is when Vince was a member of the Authority. That's clearly why Shane McMahon came back in the first place. Shane versus Taker happened because, oh, you're the Authority, and the Authority's running this place into the fucking ground, Dad, and I don't like it. A year and a half ago.
But we haven't seen Vince on SmackDown in 4 years, so obviously it's got to be fresh and new, because we have a brand split and the two entities are not the same.
The brands have only been split for a year and a half, so that doesn't work.
Exactly.
I don't agree with you. Okay, let's say I go back to what caused the brand split, then Vince is still a bad guy. He's still a member of the Authority. Look, if we take your generational thing into point of view, fine. Let's say a generation is less than 7 years. Let's say a generation's 5 years. That's how long the Authority will have been together by the end of this year. The Authority started in 2013. Now, technically, the Authority is over.
Of course, because factions only have 4 year lifespans.
What?
Factions have 4 year lifespans.
But the authority immediately falls into that, I guess. It falls into that. So if the authority is... Was the authority dead? I don't feel like the authority was dead when Kevin Owens sided with them. Supposedly, authority was dead, but Kevin Owens was technically a member of the authority. He was the replacement for Seth Rollins.
Does that make Triple H the ultimate power?
Right? I mean, Triple H is obviously the main power of the authority. But when does the authority really end? I don't think it does,
maybe,
to be honest
not.
With you. I don't think it ever actually ended. That's one of those weird-ass questions. And even Randy was part of the authority at one point, so I just... Look, the authority was a questionable thing in itself, and it was a shitty, shitty group.
Well, when it was a laptop, was definitely a low point.
But at the end of the day, I mean, I guess the question comes down to what is a WWE storyline? How long does it last? How long are we supposed to question it? And how long are we supposed to keep it in memory? And I feel like that plays heavily in this conversation. I mean, I see a lot of people congratulating this angle, saying it's a good idea, but I just feel like it's too soon in some ways. I feel like it is the exact opposite of continuity. And here's the other thing. Take your generations and shove those up your ass too, rough. Because at the end of the day, when we hit the 1500th episode of Raw, there's going to be a big-ass celebration, and we're going to talk about it all over everywhere.
For sure.
So,
without question,
Raw 15 is going to be big. So that means that we do care about our episode count.
We do.
We talk about our episode count. We care.
Well, of course, they got the bragging rights above everyone else.
So No Mercy is next week. Are you excited for No Mercy?
I think it's going to be a good pay-per-view. Is it going to be a great one? I really don't know.
I did about 30 minutes about 09 and Kevin Owens. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of this podcast. But I do want to talk about Braun Strowman and goddamn Brock Lesnar. Is WWE going to make the right choice? Is Braun going to finally get the belt? Are we going to take it off Brock, hopefully? What is the answer here?
Okay, we take it off of Brock. Then what? Are we starting a Braun
streak? We have
streak?
A reigning champion every week.
Are we starting a Braun streak?
No, we're still talking about doing Roman versus Brock.
So we got to get... Well,
at Mania
okay,
next year.
Then that means we take the belt off of Brock in order to free up Brock Lesnar just for Roman Reigns. If that's the case, then that means Cena loses on Sunday.
No. I think more of the idea will be that Brock will lose the belt, come back, win the belt at the Royal Rumble, and Roman wins the Rumble or some bullshit.
Yeah. I guess so.
I mean, that would be my expected booking. Because we're talking about having Brock drop the belt to Roman. Look, Brock can't hold that belt for another 6 months.
No.
It's tired, it's right. Boring, it's not working. Right?
Right.
So, I mean, now what?
The thing that made us care was Braun's no-sell of the suplex.
I mean, that was really, really important. But look, here's the thing.
More than anything else that Braun Strowman has done in the ring, the no-sell of the suplex is what has our attention. Because that's what we know Brock Lesnar for at this point. Not the F5, it's for Suplex City.
Look. You can take that, and you can shove that right up your ass, too. Sorry, you're shoving a lot of things up your ass today. This is just how I feel. But again, in hindsight, WWE just isn't thinking anything through. Because what happened in January, Ruff? Do you remember what happened in January?
Refresh me.
At the Rumble. Do you remember what happened at the Rumble?
Refresh me.
Brock Lesnar tore the shit out of Braun Strowman.
That was then, and this is now.
Yeah.
I think that you have made your point. We are on 6-month continuities. Worse than Marvel or DC, we now have WWE.
I just... In positive news, apparently Marvel 2-in-1 is coming back, and Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm are going to reunite to try to find the Reed family. The Reed Richards family.
How old is Franklin going to be this time?
God fucking knows.
Wait a second, we're not a comics
yes,
podcast.
Yes, we are. Look, man, we're talking about the Fantastic Four finally coming back to the Marvel Universe. For the first time since Secret Wars.
About damn time.
It's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting. I don't know. I mean...
It is exciting when...
What do you want to end this show on, sir?
No, I gotta point out the big... The funniest thing about Fantastic Four, I guess, since now we are a comics podcast. Marvel hated the Sony Fantastic... Or, what was it? Fortastic? They hated it so much that the crew. Yeah, that the cast was sitting in a restaurant in some other Marvel book and they destroyed the building with the cast inside it. So.
That did happen. That did happen.
It's been really ugly for a long time. So, the first family of comics coming back is a big deal, whether you're a fan or not. And if you're not, I don't understand. We are a wrestling podcast, but the reason why we are so drawn to wrestlers to begin with is because they're real life superheroes. They do feats that we would never see any of ourselves doing. So I don't understand comic fans that aren't wrestling fans and vice versa.
I mean, I don't know. I like both. I love video games. Obviously, this is a video game podcast, actually, because I literally pop in video game footage for our YouTube videos. I don't have a good answer there.
You plug a game every podcast.
I am. You know what I'm plugging this week?
What's this week's game?
This week's game is going to be Dragon Ball FighterZ. I got into the beta. And, I mean, that's the story I'm going to tell. How I got into the beta is besides the point. The person who got me into the beta, you know, I love you. And I'm super, super excited. Anyways, greatest news.
You know, we'll take a cheap pop here. What? And we'll take a cheap pop. Hold on. We'll take a cheap pop here. We can also be a podcast for video game testing. If any of you developers are interested out there, you want us to plug your game, you want us to test your game, give us a yell. You know how to find us
on motherfucking Twitter at Kayfabe Gimmicks. I think that's what I was supposed to respond with. I'm trying to find where is this article? I was reading it earlier. I wanted to continue on the 2-in-1 conversation because Chip Zdarsky is going to be writing it. And super awesome, who is doing art is, oh god, man, who is it? I was just looking at this. He's great too. Oh god, he's so great. And the art on this book is going to be fantastic, and it's going to debut in December, so everybody should be on the lookout for this. I mean, say what you will about Marvel or DC, whatever. Marvel's going back to their roots with the Fantastic Four, and I feel like that should make everybody very, very happy. And I think that's a good thing, right?
It is. Speaking of wrestling and comic books, which I just was, did I say in a previous podcast how much I think the idea of Cena versus Rock in a Shazam movie fucking sucks?
No, you haven't. We did not get to discuss this. I love the idea.
It's a rumor mill because at this point, look, drop your fourth wall. Anytime that they are running rumors about casting for a movie coming up, it's just to make you talk about the movie, okay? They've already chosen their guy. I've seen it again and again and again. They've already chosen their guy. So if you're hearing a rumor, guess what? That's not your guy. That being said, we already know that Dwayne Johnson is going to be in the Shazam movie and he's supposed to be Black Adam. I do not want to see Rock versus Cena again, and this time with them in with capes flying around and throwing lightning bolts. I have zero interest in that. That's not my jam at all. Maybe it's yours, Snuva, but I'm not interested in that. All you're doing is you're putting Rock versus Cena in space.
I called this like 5 years ago that the rubber match was going to happen, so if it takes that movie for it to happen, I'm still going to say I was right. Just throwing that out there, man.
Of course you will.
This is something I had been looking forward to. Back to the Fantastic Four thing, though. I did finally find it. It's Chip Zdarsky writing and Jim Chung drawing it. And Jim Chung's, both his Johnny and his Ben Grimm, fucking phenomenal, dude. Fucking phenomenal. He draws some of the greatest fucking human art and thing possible, man.
That's great. That's real exciting.
So I gotta throw that out there. I wanted to really get into that. Like, I do love that idea. And we're finally going to get back to, like, the end of Secret Wars. It only took, like, 2 years and, like, 3 reboots to get there. And, I mean, whatever. I don't feel bad about it. Look, I like certain things Marvel does, and I hate certain things Marvel does. And I hate DC fanboys more than I actually hate DC's product.
I'm sure.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's being very fair. You know, that was kind of my whole Kevin Owens problem for the longest time. Like, oh my god, these people are, like, so on his dick. They didn't watch his Steam matches. And, like, what is it that he really offers that's so new and fresh to the product? Because it was nothing, and it still is.
Exactly.
Counterpoint? Oh, shit, you're agreeing with me.
I don't have a counterpoint.
See? I mean, I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't have a...
I'm sorry.
He's a definite B-plus player.
And that's
but
the problem.
We've said it before.
He is a B-plus player. I actually think Kevin Owens is worse than Roman
Reigns.
We've
said it before. Triple H likes the B-plus players.
All right, well, that's because he's a C-plus player at best. He just happened to get himself in all the right places.
Triple H loves B-plus performers.
Well, maybe that's why Sasha Banks did so good.
Well, that's what everyone else, I mean, that's what he did, and that's what other people around him do.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that. We have had these conversations before.
I mean, was Sheamus ever more than B+?
Probably not. Like me and Steven were talking about last week.
For a while, they were looking at him like he was the guy.
Well, I mean, like me and Steven were talking about last week, without you, I mean, he literally won his belt off a tables match, which is kind of a shitty way to become a first-time world champion. I don't have a good, like, thing. I give you that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what? I feel like next podcast, if we don't have something that's really pressing at us by then, maybe next week we ought to talk about A-plus performers that the company has ignored. Forget missed opportunities, because we've been there. Let's talk about performers that the company has had that somehow never became the guy.
I'm all down for that.
If it's not next week, it will happen. So you need to keep tuning in to this podcast, and you need to be joining us on Kayfabe Gimmicks on Facebook.
I absolutely agreed. Shout out to Jericho Jones. He found a video of Kane doing an enziguri on ECW against Mark Henry. It's fucking phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
You should go watch it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm actually going to give a shout out to What Culture Pro Wrestling today. You can find them on YouTube also. They posted a video.
Yeah.
And I think they're fucking dead on here, man. The Rock versus Batista must happen at WrestleMania 34.
It's not as crazy as you think they are.
I mean, look, dude, it's a great idea. It's a great match. Batista would be more than happy to be the heel. The Rock gets to be the face. Everything about it works, and for all of your part-timers and showmanship stuff, that's going to be a fun fucking match. The whole build-up, everything.
We need to give two more great matches to The Rock for two consecutive years, because it may be the last we get if he actually does throw his hat in the political ring.
Exactly. I mean, so like always, this was Kayfabe Gimmicks. I'm Snoova, and I sat on a pencil today, and it didn't go in my ass, but instead it pierced my ass and put a hole next to my butthole.
Maybe that's why you were trying to shove everything that was pissing you up off up
Maybe.
My ass.
There is some surprisingly personal information for the end of a podcast, bitches. Well, tell the people where to find you, though. Tell the nice people where to find you.
You can find me a little bit of everywhere. Go look up Roughly Music on Facebook if you want my calendar. You can also look up roughlymusic.com, and that connects you to other places. And all of my social networks, I do things slightly different. I'm also on Instagram. Undergram. Underground Instagram. I guess that's what the next wave is going to be. And you can find me speaking my political mind if you want to get pissed off at my opinions at Real Roughly on Twitter.
And you got a Prince tribute show coming up again, don't you?
Yes, I do. October 13th is the 25th anniversary of the Love Symbol album dropping, the phenomenal Love Symbol album. And I'm celebrating that with an evening of music by the greatest singular musician of our lifetime. It's going to be in Cartersville, Georgia, and it's going to be one hell of a night. You do not want to miss out if you can get yourself there. I definitely encourage you.
And this was Kayfabe Gimmicks. Like always, find me on Twitter, at Kayfabe Gimmicks. Find me in the Facebook group, at Kayfabe Gimmicks. Find me on the Facebook page, at Kayfabe Gimmicks. And just find me everywhere, at Kayfabe Gimmicks. Not because I am Kayfabe Gimmicks, but because that's how much I love this brand. It's going nowhere. Or everywhere, depending upon how you look at it.
And he is the face that runs the place.
But I happily share co-owner duties. Because I love you guys. And, like, this is my life, I guess. And as always, I guess, like and subscribe to us. I mean, we should say that more often.
It is. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
Give us a thumbs up! Please? Please like us. Please like us. Please like us. Shout out to the unclean spitter as I drop the mic.